There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
You're listening to the Bite Size Business Breakfast, a wrap-up of what's been happening on our show and in the wider world. First, let's take a look at the top business headlines.
Dubai Eye 103.8 Business Headlines.
In association with insurancemarket.ae.
The UAE is to allow international investors to own up to 100% of UAE-based companies. The massive changes announced last night will also allow investors and valuable professionals 10-year visas.
Only a third of people in the UAE would actively recommend their bank to friends and family, according to a new Souq Al Mal survey. Emirates NBD was voted the country's most trusted bank.
Union Properties has been given the green light by shareholders to issue up to $1 billion worth of Sukuk. Shareholders also voted to increase the company's foreign ownership to 49%.
Dubai Eye 103.8 Business Headlines.
In association with insurancemarket.ae. Compare insurance for your car, health, home or business with insurancemarket.ae.
One story today and one story only. That's really the massive changes that have been announced on Twitter by His Excellency Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, Vice President and Prime Minister of the UAE and the ruler of Dubai. These are changes to the residency and visa system as well as business ownership laws. In a nutshell, this is what we know. We know that there is going to be 100% foreign ownership allowed for businesses outside of free zones. We know that some experts, people who have special talents, sought after workers and professionals seen as valuable to the country, will be offered visas of up to 10 years. And we know that for students, there will be 5-year and possibly even for exceptional students, 10-year visas available. Malx, how much of a sea change are you seeing here?
I think it has the potential to be absolutely massive. There are a number of things that jump out at me. One is 10 years, yes, hooray, being able to change jobs, freedom of movement. And I wonder, you know, with the visa system, how much you're going to be attached or held to one company, the company that initially pays your visa charge. I also wonder about the ability to outright own a company here. Is it just for new companies? Because I'm suspecting that there'll be an awful lot of political pressure on the cabinet from Emirati companies who already own 51% of some of the biggest companies in town will not be wanting to give any of that up. So I imagine that we're looking at new companies, but it still is massive. It means that you can come in, you can have a long-term visa, concentrate on your business, growing a business, and it'll benefit you, it'll benefit the UAE. And I think it's a fantastic sort of freedom of thought, freedom of application of commerce.
Well, Sheikh Mohammed said, and talking about the reasons behind these moves, that they want the UAE to be a permanent destination for international investors, a global incubator for exceptional talents. Basically, it's going to do more to encourage the best sort of people and the best sort of investment into the country. We're going to hear some reaction from listeners. We're going to hear some reaction from prominent business people. We're going to hear some reaction from experts as well.
Yeah, because the Gulf News have done a good job at calling around some of the people who've already called Dubai their home. People who've built good businesses here and made them last and made a lot of money as well. And that would be the Indian business community. They've been talking to Yusuf Ali MA, Chairman and Managing Director of the Lulu Group. He said that this is a landmark investment set to further boost the UAE's image as the most investor-friendly economy in the region. 100% foreign ownership is a revolutionary step and it'll generate huge interest among global investors, of course, which in turn will encourage them to come and set up in Dubai. Rizwan Sajjan, founder and chairman of Danu Group, said it's surely wonderful news for all investors. This decision will bring so much more trust and confidence in investors who have already invested huge money in the UAE. We've heard that Prasant Mangat, CEO and executive director at NMC Health, said this move will get the UAE one step closer to its aim of making the country a thought bed for incubators and creators and a dream destination for investors. And Mr. Y. Sudhakumar Shetty, president of UAE Exchange, said this is great news for all of us. Step forward in the right direction. Not only is it going to boost confidence of resident investors, but it'll also encourage non-resident investors to look at the UAE market with a renewed interest to commit more investments in the future. He said it's also heartening to note that even specialised medical professionals and engineers are eligible for this long-term visa. Now, obviously, we're short on the actual detail, but they will be emerging soon, and we will certainly be bringing them to you as soon as we get them.
Yeah, certainly. The initial reaction on our text message systems this morning was exceptionally positive. People did have questions about how things would work, particularly, as you say, when it comes to swapping jobs. People also very interested in what it would mean for banks, and we're going to talk about banks a little bit later in this podcast, but whether or not we could see banks more relaxed about lending to people, knowing that they were going to be here for a longer period of time, whether that stability would filter through into more loans, better conditions, particularly for smaller startups.
And if you go onto the streets of Dubai, if you go into the malls, you see a lot of people between the age of 20 and 50, 55. You don't see that many people below 20. You don't see that many people over 65. Okay, young people possibly, but
I see is young people. It makes me feel old.
Well, there may be some encouragement for people, expatriates, to give visas to their kids. Because at the moment, an expatriate based here can sponsor their daughter over the age of 18, but not the son. So you have to get a separate visa. So this will encourage people to come back or stay rather than have to go somewhere else and work. And for retirement people approaching retirement, this is a major encouragement to stay longer.
Yeah, see, this is one of the question marks, isn't it? Whether or not we could see more flexibility for those who have retired. There was no specific
mention.
And the
Green Dirham.
So far, yep, absolutely. There's been no specific mention in the cabinet meeting yesterday, but it is one of the things that is being speculated about. Let's hear what the experts had to say. We've been speaking to Nick McLean. Now, he is the managing director for CBRE here in the Middle East. Talking to him about this with a property head on, really, asking him what it means for property prices, property demand in the UAE. This is Nick giving us his first reactions.
My first impression is very positive. I think one of the issues that's affecting the residential market at the moment is some uncertainty about long-term residency because of concern over employment. And this potentially gives employees an opportunity to make longer-term plans, particularly if the new visa system is not linked to one employer.
What could it do to property demand and property prices?
For demand, certainly, I think it allows people to put down longer routes in the country, which, of course, will then benefit the schools and the retail sector and all the other components of the economy here. It removes the components of uncertainty as it relates to employment in the workplace, I think, and that stimulates demand in itself. It's also very important for the commercial sector because the costs of visas are becoming an important consideration for employers, particularly the larger employers, when they choose locations, whether it be onshore or offshore, or in competition between free zones. So an opportunity to have a longer-term visa, subject, of course, to the cost, means the opportunity for people to take more space going forward and make decisions for movement.
Could we see a bump in property prices on the back of this?
I don't think so. The real estate market is longer term. I think it's a good move to stimulate further demand, and that demand will take some time to come through the system in terms of transactions or prices. But it will, in my opinion, subject to the detail, of course, it will definitely have an important contribution to the future value of real estate in the UAE.
Nick, good morning. I was wondering, if it doesn't actually attract that many people in to buy homes, what it might do is actually keep people here for longer and prevent a certain amount of selling.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the key is whether or not it's linked to workplace, so work permits.
Yeah.
And it gives the people the opportunity, therefore, to move between jobs and not face the prospect of potentially having to leave the country even temporarily. So people are allowed to make longer-term decisions and they can perhaps buy rather than rent. So I think in the residential sector, the key is the transition between renters and buyers.
That's certainly one of the sort of common themes in the questions that are being texted into us this morning. Does it work a little little bit like an American green card, where you get the residency, you can change jobs, etc., and live for a certain period.
Nick, last...
Yeah, I hope it does.
Last question from me. What are you, from your property perspective, still waiting to find out? What more detail do you want to know?
I think the key aspect is going to be the cost. What's the differential between a 10-year visa and the existing visa system? And in respect of the other components of the announcements relating to 100% company ownership, what does that mean for the tax regulations within the country? So I think those two key discussion points going forward.
Nick McLean, Managing Director for CBRE in the Middle East, thank you very much for joining us on the line this morning.
Thank you.
We also looked at what it means when it comes to bringing talent, attracting talent here to the UAE. We spoke to James Maltman. He's the Managing Director of Engage Selection. Now, that is a headhunting and recruitment firm. He also spoke to us about what he thought of the news.
It's quite interesting, but I think it's probably generated more questions than it's answered at the moment, because it's not very clear exactly what professions are going to be eligible for this visa. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, the final list when it comes out. And also, again, how the visa is going to work, if you're able to transfer to new employers the 10-year visa the same as you can with the current 3-year visa. So, again, there are a lot of questions.
But from an initial reaction, when you're talking to the talent that you're trying to convince to come here to the UAE, will being able to say, you know, 10-year visas could be available for you, will it make a difference?
Yes, I think so. I think if people are committed to their new opportunity and committed to the new employer, I think a 10-year visa will give them extra confidence that they're always here for the long term and it's not a short-term stint. Again, that depends on the individual. If they're serious about moving to the UAE for the longer term, maybe in their home, then yes, I think a 10-year visa will be attractive to people.
What about from an investment point of view, James?
In terms of the new trade licence options, you mean? Yeah, I think that is excellent. Currently, as you know, there are limitations within free zones, not just on how you can trade, but also where you have to rent the property the office is in. Yeah, obviously, it has to be in that free zone, so you're tied to the prices of that free zone. So I think a 100% onshore ownership would be fantastic, and I already think that is going to be a big change, game changer for Dubai.
So you've outlined a few of the things you're waiting to know now. What else do you think, in the small print and the detail, which will obviously emerge over the next couple of months, what are the key things you're going to be listening for?
I think it's going to be important to find out the actual professions that are going to be eligible for this visa. That's obviously key. I think it's going to be important to find out the costs and how that actually works. Again, if the visa costs a lot more than the current 3-year visa, it might not be as attractive to put people on a 10-year visa. I think that they're going to be the two main questions. And I think also it'll be interesting to find out about 100% ownership and the exact parameters for that, what industries are eligible, what industries aren't. And I think the final question really is the one that's not been mentioned, I don't think, yesterday in the announcement, is how retirees are going to be affected by this and whether they're able to get the 10-year visa. Because, again, I think if people are committed to stay here in the UAE, if you're able to get a 10-year visa as a retiree, that really will make a big difference.
How long do you see the executives that you bring in at the moment? I mean, do you know an average length of stay? Do you know how long they do commit for at the moment?
More and more people are staying here longer. I think because the education system is so good, because the healthcare system is, or the healthcare providers are so good now. People at an executive level who are moving their families, their children, their wives to the UAE, you know, they are here for the long haul. And again, I think for those people who are committed, I think a 10-year visa is going to be important to them, definitely.
James Maltman, Managing Director of the headhunting and recruitment firm Engage Selection, thank you very much for your time this morning.
My pleasure, Brandy.
This is the Business Breakfast.
Stay one step ahead with Dubai Eye 103.8.
One of the other big talking points on the show this morning was banks. How happy are you with yours? Not very, according to a new survey from sukomel.com. That's the financial products comparison website. They found, and they do this survey every year, their bank satisfaction survey, that 2/3 of us would not recommend our bank here to friends or to family. So basically to anyone we like. What do you think?
I think, A, it flies in the face of the Union of Arab Banks survey, which said that the vast majority of us do like our banks and would recommend them. And secondly, it makes you wonder how many people actually change back. I would like to know the churn that banks see in accounts, probably a lot less than you'd think.
Well, look, I'm not in love with mine. I'm not quite at the divorce stage, but I'm not in love with mine. But I've never done anything to change because it's just felt like too much of a hassle. You have changed in the time that I've known you.
I have, and I would say that it isn't the love affair I thought it was going to be.
Grass not green on the other side.
Not as much as you think. There was quite a bit of unstitching to be done.
Yeah.
Because, you know, normally when you've had a relationship with a bank for a number of years, you've not only got a current account, you may have a deposit as an investment account, you may have a debit card, a credit card, you may have outstanding on those that you've got to pay off before you can start moving. There's a whole bunch of things that act as glue to your current financial provider. You've got to, as you said, unstitch all of those before you start creating a new design and a new relationship.
Yeah, I mean, when I moved back to the UAE about 2 years ago, and you're doing all of the admin all over again, aren't you? You know, visa, blood tests, health stuff, DWA, you know, all of the process. The only thing that actually got me a little bit irritated, you know, when you're sitting there thinking, be polite, was the banking side of it.
When you came back, did you not take that opportunity to change?
No, I went with my normal bank, but I effectively had to start up all over again. Anyway, let's look at what the survey actually said. Ambreen Musa, the founder and CEO from Souq Al Mal, has been talking us through it.
We surveyed around 7,000 people, and the basis of the survey is based on the Net Promoter Score, which is a framework that is used around the world. Many big companies use it to actually gauge customer sentiment and customer satisfaction. And you're absolutely right, we're still extremely low on a scale. However, it's still a 7% up from last year. So positive news, we've got a long way to go, but it is positive news.
Bad, but not as bad as it has been.
Absolutely. And the year before it was 17%.
Okay, couple of questions for you. Are we really that unsatisfied, or do we just like to moan when we're filling in a survey?
I think you'll find that it's only when people are grumpy that they talk about it. But this survey wasn't done through people who've had recent experience. It was really out there saying, you know, would you recommend your bank to your friends and family? So I think it's quite very, very close to reality at 32%. Now, there are some grudges around customer service, about the time to get the documents. It's a very, very competitive market. And I think all of us as well, coming from different places, have different aspects of what service is like.
If we don't like our bank to the point that two-thirds of us, the majority of us, wouldn't recommend it to anybody, why don't we move? Why don't we see a lot more bank churn?
Funny enough, if you look at customers, they'll tell you it's so hard to move the bank. And if I move to another one anyway, it's going to be the same thing. That's what we've heard a lot.
Which is my secret conspiracy theory, that everybody sits down and says, we're just all going to stay the same in our customer service, just about average, and then no one will go anywhere else. I realise that's not actually happening. There's no bordering that's going on, but I've secretly thought that for years.
I think there's a difference between perception and actual reality. I think the perception is very much out there saying, you know what, if I move, because until you move, you don't know. But the perception is, if I move, it's going to be the same, so why bother? And it takes me so long to move, I'm not even going to worry about it. The statistics that says that it's actually the chances of you getting divorced is higher than changing your bank account. That's I think it was in the UK quite a while ago.
That's the thing, isn't it? A divorce is probably a must-take decision where, you know, do you want to bother with the shag of going through the paperwork of closing one, opening another, and the rest of it? And, it is easier just to stick where you are. And, of course, you know, with traffic and people working long hours, it's much harder to do. Now, a survey a few weeks ago by the UAE Bank Federation suggested that around 3/4 of respondents would recommend their bank to a family friend. Almost the opposite of the reaction to yours. Your survey puts that figure at around 1/3. I mean, why the big difference between the UAE Banks Federation and yours? What do you see as being the big differences?
I wouldn't know really what the actual basis of the survey was. But I think it depends on the questions that were asked. Ours, and I'll explain to you the framework that we use.
It's a straightforward question. You know, would you recommend your bank to your family and friends? That was the question.
So the record, I'm not aware of the actual question, the answer, but the way we do it is on a scale of 0 to 10. So it's not a yes or no answer for us.
Right.
So what it is the Net Promoter Score, which is a framework. You say from 0 to 10, how are you likely to recommend? Now, when we talk about who are going to be recommending we take the 9s and 10s, because they are the promoters of the company. They would actually go out there and talk about you and say, I would recommend that you go with bank A and B. The others wouldn't actually say, you know what, not really bothered. But if it's a yes or no, then anybody probably around 5 or 6 out of 10 would still say a yes, because if you really push me, okay, I probably will.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing also that the business of the UAE Banks Federation is to make UAE banks look pretty good. They said that in that survey, 93% of retail banking customers indicated they were satisfied with the performance of their bank. So apart from those that would recommend friends to come to their bank, what was the general level of satisfaction? How many people said, I am satisfied with my bank?
So we didn't ask that question, okay, but if you look at numbers, however, I do some numbers around 0 to 6. So 0 to 6, so people who are detractors saying absolutely not, is 47%. But people who are kind of generally satisfied, which is 7 to 8, was around 21%, and the 9 to 10s were 32. So it's around 53% were okay-ish, yeah, in a certain way, with 32 out of that really going out there to promote their bank.
What are our banks not getting then, Amberine? What would you like to see happen?
Look, I see there's a couple of things, right? The first one is the banks here are based on a very heavy legacy system. So to make changes is not as easy as we think. And it's an extremely competitive market. I mean, you've got over 50 banks for quite a small population. So the competitiveness gets you to become very innovative, but at the same time, prices are... It's a bit of a price war between the different banks of profitability.
Amberine, I know you're very concerned about people's debt levels and how people cope with debt. I know it's something you look at very closely. How much do you think the debt handcuffs keeping people with their financial institution is a factor in not changing?
So there's a couple of things on that. One is a lot of finance out there is based on salary transfer in this country. Mm. And that actually does, which I was going to mention earlier on, that actually does keep you with a bank, whether you like it or not. Because once you've got a mortgage, sometimes you've got a car loan, you need salary transfer. Around 50% of the products on sukalmal.com are salary transfer products. Yeah. So the moment you get your salary out, either your rates go up or you can actually have this finance and you've got to pay it off early. So that locks you in very much to your different banks. Number two is indebtedness is a huge issue in this country. And one of the highest read blog article is about how do I repay my debt.
Listen, it's lovely to have you back in the studio as always, Amberine Moussa, founder and CEO of Souq Al Mal. Thanks very much indeed for bringing in the results of your bank satisfaction survey. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
This is the Business Breakfast.
Stay one step ahead with Dubai Eye 103.8.
Last Thursday, the fourth cycle of the Dubai Future Accelerators programme concluded. Nearly three quarters of the companies signed MOUs. And if you don't really know what the company is, each cycle lasts 9 weeks and it puts global and local tech startups with Dubai's government organisations. Georgia Tolley's been speaking to head of one of these new companies looking to get into government organisation. It's called Bodio. And what
not
they
just
do
the head,
is
the shoulders, knees and toes, knees and toes.
Bodio.
Head, shoulders, knees and toes.
Bodio. They create health pods. If you don't know what a health pod is, listen to this, because Tariq Hussain has just signed an MOU with the Ministry of Health.
First of all, it's been manufactured and designed here in Dubai. We built it from the ground up here. We designed it from the ground up here for the local market. What it does is it measures your vitals in the beginning. So basically, it'll do your blood pressure, your blood sugar, your body composition, which is fat mass, muscle mass, bone density, hydration, height and weight. And it's all non-invasive. So unlike going to the doctors where you have to, you know, when they take your blood, they use a needle. We use infrared, so there's no doctors required, there's no nurses required. It's basically you step in it yourself. It's like going into a photo booth and taking a picture. We kind of do a health scan. Once you've done that scan, then that data goes to your iOS or Android device where you can monitor it. By monitoring it, it means that you're able to look at your health vitals and see the differences week on week or month on month. What we also have is a bunch of health plans as well. So let's say, for instance, you want to go on a diet, which is quite a popular thing to do over here, or you're pregnant, or you want to monitor your sleep patterns. We have specific programs for individuals based on their vitals and based on what they want to achieve. So what we give you is a nutrition plan, a training plan, and it's not just any old nutrition plan. So each of the sensors that we have inside the pod has its own algorithm, which then works out according to your own body, what kind of food you should be having. So let's say, for instance, you had high blood pressure. we might recommend that you have a healthy Greek yogurt, for instance. But then we also look at your social behavior as well, and we can see where you like to eat and the places you like to go to. So rather than giving you a nutrition plan that's, I don't know, quinoa and lettuce and some carrots, we try and keep it as close as possible to what your current diet is to keep you on it for the longest period of time.
Where are we going to find these pots? Are they going to be in malls? Are they going to be in doctor surgeries? Are they going to be in offices?
So right now we've just signed an MOU with Dubai Health Authority, which enables us to put these in government entities over a period of a year for a pilot. But the idea is, and we have got some other clients booked up for August as well. So the idea is if it's going to corporations, it will go into places like pharmacies, outside a Spinners or a Waitrose, inside a mall, could be in a clinic or a hospital. So when you go into a clinic or hospital and you do your pre-examination test, the nurse normally takes around 25 to 35 minutes to do your test. With our pod, it takes about 5 to 8 minutes. And then that data can go directly to the doctor where he can monitor it. But what's also cool about the data is that if you want a doctor or a specialist or a nutritionist to monitor your vitals, you can share it with them. So they can monitor your blood pressure and blood sugar. So if there is any potential issues, they can give you a call and get you into the clinic or hospital before it becomes an issue.
So you're from the UK. So why is this pod built here in the UAE?
So our founder, Mr. Patrice, he was the fitness and performance coach for the UAE football team for 14 years. But he brought some devices over here to monitor people's performance. So that was stuff like your beats per minute, GPS, hydration. And then he very quickly found out that the tools that he was using to monitor people's performance, he could also use in the public domain to help people get fit and healthy. Why it's in the UAE and why we've done it here, 60% of the population is either overweight or obese. So it's a perfect location for something like this where we can improve the population health drastically. And the fact that it's free means that you can monitor your own health without actually having to go to a doctor. The problem with going to the doctor is that most people when they go, they realize that once they've done their tests and they've gone to the doctor, they walk out with some medication. And people don't like that. So we're trying to change that a little bit by enabling people to monitor themselves without having to be medicated and only really go to the doctors if a serious pattern or trend is identified where they need to get a proper checkup.
You've just been through this 9-week program with the Dubai Future Accelerators. You mentioned just now that you have signed an MOU that involves putting the pods in government entities. Is that the main thing that you got out of this 9 weeks?
It's one of the things that we got out of it, but we also got onto TV in over 43 countries, got into Khaleej Time and Gulf News. So the PR that we got from this was fantastic. But more importantly, the feedback we got was really good. I mean, we got a call from IKEA in Sweden, who wanted to put our pods in all their stores. They're hopefully going to be coming out very shortly when we have our production version ready in August to try one of these out, put it in their store in Sweden. If it works really well, then they can put it across different locations all over the world. I think they have over 300 stores. Other than that, we've had lots of interest from other entities from other countries, government entities even. So it's been an absolutely fantastic platform to showcase this product. And actually having the product here has helped a lot. I mean, we've had lots of delegations coming from all over the world, which means that the exposure they've given us as well has been pretty good.
And so how soon will we see these pods in government offices in Dubai?
So the date that they'll be there is mid-August.
That was Georgia Tolley talking to the CEO of Bodio, Tariq Hussain. Thanks for listening to the Bite Size Business Breakfast, a brand new and rather interesting way to listen to the condensed version of our show.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.